It is such a blessing to see all of you here and to rejoice. You know, we love the brotherhood of believers, and it's always sad when someone is getting ready to move. And so we are saddened that some people are getting ready to move. So we are going to punish them. Jeremy, come up here, please. And it's not as bad as you think. We just want to give you a love card for you and Amy and the family and pray God's blessing for you guys. I know you might be here maybe another week, I don't know, but we want to just thank you and praise God for you. Oh, let's pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you for Jeremy and Amy and their children and the one on the way. And we are going to miss them greatly, but Lord, this is your blessing. And we pray you will guide and direct and encourage them by your Holy Spirit for a great new adventure that you will lead them to. To the praise of your glory, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Okay.
But as I tell people when they move away, you better start praying for two more to replace you. Okay. All right. Well, today is Mother's Day, so we're taking a break from the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to consider one of the most blessed mothers of all, the mother of Jesus, who probably as a teenager quite shockingly receives news that she's going to have a child, and she embraces motherhood. Motherhood is not always embraced in our day. There are way too many mothers that are following the philosophy of self-fulfillment, dropping off or abandoning their babies to daycare. It's such a sad sight to see. That's even if they accept their child in the first place and not aborting them. How we praise God for all of you mothers, embracing motherhood, large families even. I shouldn't say that. Actually, these are all still pretty small families. You know, just consider Susanna Wesley. Let's see, she had 24 children she gave birth to? And she was one of 26? I don't know why you guys are so slow here. That's how we take over the world. But you got to raise them for the Lord at the same time. But Mary here in Luke chapter 1 embraces motherhood and worships God, even though she was a teenager, probably. She probably had no personal copy of Scripture, and yet in her Magnificat, it's full of Scripture. She probably learned about God from her parents and the teaching in the synagogue. But her worshipful praise here is so beautiful and full of Scripture, and it's true worship in spirit and in truth. And of course, that's what we're here for today, right, isn't it? We're here to worship God. And what is worship? Worship is when we are being controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our life is a life of worship. It's when our thoughts are focused on God, not on self, that we can worship Him. At the same time, our hearts must demonstrate a repentant spirit for all of our failures and sinfulness. And we must learn to accept, humbly accept, God's will, no matter what it is for us each day. You ever have a rough day? Did you thank God? Did you worship God? Did you say, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord"? Yes, that's the attitude of the heart. That's the humble person who is just humbling himself before God and who will be exalted by God. And we must worship according to God's revealed truth. But let me read this passage in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. Mary's response there when she's visiting Elizabeth. And Elizabeth has just said, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Oh, may that be true of all of us. For he, my Lord God, has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones. He's exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich. He has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Amen. The first thing we want to notice here today is Mary's attitude of worship. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Reminds us of Scripture. I wonder how many of you have memorized Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And that's what she's doing here. She's making her boast in the Lord. She's magnifying the Lord. Now, we can't really make God any bigger than he is, because he's so big we can't comprehend him. But we're to magnify him before other people and let them know how big he really is. That's the idea. And then her spirit rejoicing in who God is and what he's done. And so this is the parallelism. It's sort of the repetition, the soul, the spirit. And Mary is addressing God as the sovereign master and ruler of her life. What a beautiful attitude of worship. But then we see the object of worship, and she says, it's God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Think about that. Mary needed a Savior. Just in case someone tries to lead you astray sometime. She realizes her need. A Savior, a Deliverer, someone who has set me free from sin and its consequences. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You say, wait a minute. Why didn't she say Jesus? Because he's not born yet. And throughout the Old Testament, God is called Savior as well. You remember that, don't you, from our study of the book of Isaiah, where it was over and over and over again? Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, Yahweh. Besides me, there's no Savior. Right there. Isaiah 45:21, and there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Here's God claiming he's the Savior. Again, Isaiah 49:26, then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, your Savior. And then Isaiah 60:16, you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior. God is our Savior. Because Jesus Christ is God. Amen? Amen? Amen. We were reading in 1 Samuel 1 and 2 this morning, which is so appropriate, story of Hannah and Penina. How many of you ever heard of someone named Penina? But everybody knows a Hannah, or two or three. I think we have at least two here today. What a beautiful name. God, because God blessed her. She was willing to be humbled in order to be exalted at the proper time. What did she say in chapter 2, verse 1? My heart exalts in the Lord. See, that's what worship is all about. It's worshiping God. Too many people try to find something else to worship besides God, but we as believers know who we're worshiping. And it's the Lord, God Almighty. Now, what is her reason for worship? In verse 48, he says, for he, speaking of the Lord, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. That's why she's worshiping. He looked on my humble estate. In 1 Samuel 1:11, Hannah said, if you will indeed look on the humble state, the affliction of your servant. And then in her song in the next chapter, the Lord brings low and then exalts. That's the picture. That's what God has done for Hannah. That's what God has done, is going to do for Mary. She says, if you will look on. To look on here, it speaks of God's loving care in selecting Mary to bear this child. Looked on my humble estate, my low social class. She was not a rich girl. She didn't have a whole lot. In fact, here she describes herself as his servant. Isn't that beautiful? His doulos. That's what she was claiming. God has looked on the humble estate of his doulos. That's me, Mary says. I'm just a slave girl before the Lord. She's acknowledging her subordinate position to God, that God is, again, the master, the ruler. And then I love the end of that verse. It says, for behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. She's looking forward to the future and what it's going to be like. She's going to be so greatly blessed. Everybody's going to say, boy, you are blessed. She knew she was going to be famous. And so what did she do? Praise the Lord, I am the greatest. No. What does she say at the end of verse 49? Holy is his name. She thinks upon God again. That's it. That's the picture. That's what we want to remember. By the way, don't you realize what great things God has done for you? He who has done great things has done mighty things for me, Mary said. Just like Psalm 126:3. The Lord has done great things for me, and so we are glad, but holy is his name. Reminder of Psalm 99:3, which says, let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. Or Psalm 111:9, holy and awesome is his name. God is the mighty one who has done great things. He's done a great thing in giving Mary a child, doing the impossible, the virgin birth. And yet all things are possible with God. And so coming up soon in Jeremiah, God will say, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is, no. There's nothing too hard for God. Come, my soul, thy plea prepare. Remember that song by John Newton? Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Pray for big things. God is able to do big things. But if you have a little thing, make sure you pray for it too. Pray for all things. And then trust the Lord. God is mighty, giving her a child. And so she says in verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. This is what God is going to do for others as well. She says, look, this isn't just for me. This is for anybody who will fear the Lord. His mercy is for those who fear the Lord Generation after generation after generation. How many generations has it been since Mary? It's been a few. Is God still working the same way? Yes, he is. Praise be to God. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Okay? Don't forget that. When you read those great biographies and see what God has done, you can cry out to God and say, Lord, I trust you the same way. And then notice the last five verses here. What God has done for Israel. And notice this. Notice this repetition. He has, okay? Verse 51. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And these were all just as God had promised. Just as God promised, so he had done. God did it. Oh, what joy Mary had. And this is just the beginning for her. But there's going to be struggles and difficulties along the way. Before honor comes further humility, and she'll have very many struggles. But now she's in the presence of the Lord rejoicing. So a word to you mothers today. Humbly accept your calling to motherhood and rejoice in the Lord. Now learning to walk humbly before God and learning to accept whatever he decides to bring into your life, that's of the utmost importance. And if that's your calling, women, thank God for being a mother. But if he doesn't give you children, accept that also as the hand of God. Amy Carmichael comes to mind. A woman who never had children. And yet what was the name that she was called by? Amma. Which in the Tamil language means mother. So she was a mother in a very special sense. We could even use the illustration of another person called Mother Teresa. Getting a name like mother, even though you never had children, because of the work that you do. Mothers, humbly accept your calling to motherhood, but mothers, be like Mary. Know the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Hide the scriptures in your heart so that you just bubble forth with scripture when you're trying to talk to God or talk about God. Mary continually was pondering all the things that were happening to her in her heart, but she was thinking scripturally through it all. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. You do the same. Magnify the Lord. Spurgeon says, this is something that can be done anywhere, at any time. And it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to be rich or poor or whatever. You don't need any means. You can magnify the Lord. He says it's the greatest thing to be occupied with. And when we do it, we can lift up the thoughts and hearts of others and encourage them. Magnify the Lord. Someone said nature would say to Mary, magnify yourself. Look at how you are blessed. But grace says, no, Mary, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Do you realize how blessed Mary was to be the mother of Jesus? Now, you may be blessed to be the mother of many children. Praise God. You may be blessed in a financial sense that you're married to one of the billionaires of the world. I mean, there's not too many of those. Or is that more of a curse? But she was one of a kind. She's the only woman in the history of the world that will be the mother of the Son of God. That's a special blessing. But what was her response? Just to praise God, not to think what an honor it was for her. You know, in the same way, we have been saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It was not of works, lest anyone should boast. Many people are not saved. Many follow the broad road to destruction. Are you thankful to God? Do you magnify Him because of the fact that He has chosen you and saved you? We should magnify the Lord the most. There's nothing to be proud of. We did nothing to deserve it. It was all of His grace. All of us should be giving thanks to the Lord daily for His wondrous works in our lives. Another comment on Mary's song of praise. I just want you to know this is a song full of emotion. She's emotional. She's filled with wonder at what God has done. She's full of expectation of this promise that God has given to her. She believes. And yet she's filled with fear and awe before God, and she realized that it's a humbling thing. But she praises God. We in the same way need to acknowledge with great joy and emotion what it is to know the Lord. What a blessing it is. There ought to be times that you just feel overwhelmed by the fact God chose me to be saved. What a glorious thing. I want to tell others so that they can receive Him. And they can be saved. And by the way, Mary saw the bigger picture. She realized that God giving her a child was a bigger picture of what God wanted to accomplish in the world, and you ought to think the same way. This is walking by faith, not by sight. Do you ever get tired and worn out trying to raise your children? Does it ever get wearisome? Do you ever wonder if they'll ever amount to anything? When they're now in their 20s? Will my prayers ever be answered? Picture an old woman with a halo of silvered hair, the hot tears flowing down her furrowed cheeks, her worn hands busy over a washboard in a room of poverty, praying for her son, John, who ran away from home when he was a teenager and became a sailor. John, of whom it was now being reported that became a very wicked man. But she's praying always, praying for her son, praying for the power of God to work and save her son. And God did. Many years later, but He did. That sailor became a Christian, the miracle in his heart, the life of John Newton. He became a preacher of all things. He became a preacher. He served the Lord faithfully. And one day the Lord led him over to another Anglican parish to talk to another Anglican minister and share the gospel with him. Because he believed that Anglican minister was not a Christian. And that Anglican minister was very, very offended and very upset and very angry and did not like John Newton at all. But John Newton loved him and continued to share the gospel until there's a book out, it's called The Force of Truth. Because the force of truth, as you continue to share the truth, it affects people's lives. And Thomas Scott became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and became one of the major commentators along with Matthew Henry. I don't know how many of you ever heard of Thomas Scott. At one time I had a commentary. It was called the Commentary of Matthew Henry and Thomas Scott. It was that well known that they put out commentary with both of their comments there. Thomas Scott had been a cultured, selfish, and self-satisfied man. But because of the worst tub prayers of that dear mother of John Newton, another miracle was worked, and Thomas Scott ended up using both his pen and voice to lead thousands of unbelievers to Christ, among whom was a dyspeptic, melancholic young man by the name of William Cooper. Have you heard of him? He too was washed in the cleansing blood, and in a moment of inspiration, he wrote a hymn called, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain." Praise God. A mother praying for her son. He finally gets saved. He leads this other man to the Lord as a preacher, and he preaches the word, and this other man is saved, and he writes a hymn, and many others are saved. And you know what? The chains just go on, don't they? Mothers, don't ever give up. Don't ever get discouraged. We call him Saint Augustine. He was anything but. Ungodly, immoral man. But his mother Monica was praying for him. And he became saved. And then she greatly encouraged him in conquering moral impurity. Mothers, you have a most wonderful job to do, the most wonderful job in the world. We thank God for you, but remember, here's just a couple things. You know, you are to be an example to your children, like the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice to Timothy. Like the mother in Proverbs 31 to the king, teaching him. The mother in Proverbs 29, disciplining her children. Or as it says in Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her children, so God, well, you are to be a comforter to your children. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, how does he compare himself? He compares himself to a mother. And what is she doing? He says, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. There's a picture of the mother cherishing her child. These are your wonderful responsibilities. And for all of you, how do you treat your mother? How do you treat your mother? Today's a special day to honor mothers. But you should honor her all the time. You should show respect toward her. You should be obedient. Children, obey your mothers, for this is right, and your fathers. You should encourage her. You should realize how blessed you are in having a mother. And like in Proverbs 31, you should rise up and call her blessed. Praise God for mothers. One man wrote and said, I didn't have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at critical times in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. That was the testimony of one of the greatest inventors in American history, Thomas Edison. Another man said, this was found in his will after he died. It said, looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained. That was from the will of Henry J. Hines, the wealthy distributor of the famous 57 varieties. You may still have something of his in your house. And on and on and on and on and on, okay? You get the picture. Praise God for mothers. Give thanks for your mother. My mother has now been in heaven, wow, almost 29 years. I just so thank God for my mother. She was such a blessing, such an encouragement. She was a woman of the word. She was a woman of prayer. And I'm just so grateful for how God used her in my life. I thank God so much. Thank God for your mothers. By the way, no one has ever had a perfect mother. Okay? Every mother will accept that. It's true. But she's still your mother. Give thanks for her. Praise her and honor her this day. And who do you give thanks to? As you're thanking God for your mother. Okay? Mom, I thank God for you. So when you're saying thank you to your mother, make sure you're really thanking God as well. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to you. Your word from the life of Mary is an encouragement to our hearts, and we thank you for how it reminds us of the blessing that we have in our mothers. Father, we just pray that you will help each one of us, every mother, every father, every single one of us, that we will realize how important it is to live for you daily. And so we say to you, be all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.